Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the morning show. This show happens Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. We are talking about what is going in the NFT market. It has been red hot over the past couple of days, and I think every speaker that comes to the stage can just hope that this heat can continue. Obviously, we will hear about it when we get to Signal and Captain Kicks's weather report, but really happy to be here with everybody. It's hump day. Let's get right into it. Nick, my wonderful co-host, how are you doing?
I'd say pretty good. You know, I'm sitting in the lobby of the Ace Hotel, and it's all connected.
Okay, well, you're breaking up a little bit. That hotel lobby doesn't have the best Wi-Fi, but I hope that you kicked.
I'm on AT&T. I think that works well.
You're breaking up for me. Maybe you're not breaking up for the audience. People in the Discord, if you want to let me know if Nick is breaking up, and then we can figure that part out. But I've had an action-packed morning. I bought two of the Vayner Sports NFT on my personal wallet, and I accidentally bought one on our group wallet. So I didn't realize that I was on the group wallet and accidentally bought one there. But I'm happy with that decision. And I think that that's totally fine. I think it's a great
it's a good decision. I bought like 20 this morning as well.
Oh, damn.
I know that it's kind of like a hot topic. Just kind of to disclose quickly, I'm friends with AJ. We were texting this morning. I think he's putting in a lot of work. Obviously biased as a friend. I think that he's putting in a lot of effort to kind of make up for any of the shortcomings with the drop. So I'm personally bullish on that project at these prices. But, you know, I think it still could fall a little bit too. But, you know, I do like the premise of the project. I do think he's putting in a high effort and, you know, could be wrong as well. But that's my two cents on it.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like you said, I think it could fall too, but at the same time, you're buying into it 24 hours after the, you know, the little debacle, right? I mean, look, it was a gas issue. It's not the first time that there was a gas issue. It seemed like it was a bad one. Josh, yesterday morning on the show, you said you were like, I don't think that there's going to be a gas war. I didn't say anything, but in my head, I was like, dude, there's absolutely going to be a gas war.
I was way wrong, and even as I was texting with AJ, I saw the gas war. I was like, yeah, not buying this right now, and like I'll buy it later, maybe, because, you know, look, at the end of the day, everyone gets to make a decision if they want to engage with paying half an ETH for a 0.15 ETH asset, and for me, the math didn't make sense, so I held off and waited.
Yeah, and it was the right decision.
I went to buy four of them. And I thought I was getting them for like 1.7. I'm like, that's not that bad, but actually that was just the gas. So I ended up paying like 2.4 for four. But yeah, man, I mean, that's you can't really, you know, gas wars happen. I think what I probably would have recommended potentially to him or just to people going forward is And as you said, Josh, like, you know, maybe he didn't even think there was going to be a gas war. Like, you didn't think there's going to be a gas war in that case. Like, what do you do? But one way you can kind of avoid it is doing stealth drops, at least. You know, like, if people don't know exactly when it's going to drop, then, you know, you can at least get more people in the door before the gas war inevitably happens. I'm in a group that does a lot of on-chain tracking. And there's this character in the NFT space that is just known as a massive whale degenerate and does crazy things. This guy bought $4 million, I think, some crazy amount of this project all in one transaction at 3,400 Gwei.
Damn.
And then 10 minutes after it sold out, is dumping the floor at like a 0.1 loss per and has like hundreds of them.
You know, that's actually what I'm looking at and why I'm a buyer right now, because I was up maybe at like 4:30 this morning and started going through the wallet distributions. And I was just like, the people that are holding this aren't the people that want it. There's like, you know, and so it's probably going to continue to fall for a little bit. But like, I'm looking at these wallets and it's like they bought like, you know, 150 and 148 are for sale. I'm just like, well, not really long-term conviction buyers. So obviously that's going to kind of deflate the floor price for a little bit. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this went down to like a 0.25, 0.2, but, you know, I'm probably buying on the way down. I mean, I don't think I've finished pulling the trigger on this project yet personally.
Yeah, you got to buy on the way down. I mean, that's if there's any lesson that I've learned, right, it's that you have to buy on the way down as long as it's a high conviction play. Like, I know that there's people in our Discord and there's people that speak on this show that, you know, are kind of like doing the sort of degen approach to the NFT space. But when you have high conviction in something and at the end of the day, like, right, AJ Vaynerchuk, Vayner Sports, yes, there was a mistake with the gas. Yes, it cost people a lot of money. He came out, addressed it, apologized. It stinks. But if that whale is selling his stuff as at a loss, I'm going to go ahead and buy some of it. And if it keeps dumping, I'm just going to keep buying because the high conviction stuff, the idea is it's good enough that it's going to come back. Well, you know, look, we dove right into it. I want to get to...
And Pia, this is what's going to happen. I'm telling you. The dust is going to settle like a week or two from now. Gary V and AJ are going to make up. Gary's going to get him a little arm lock and give him a little knucklehead sandwich. You little knucklehead, AJ. You little knucklehead. And then he's going to send out a tweet and be like, my brother's taking this thing to the moon. And then we're set.
The reason this whole thing pumped was Gary tweeting. I feel like if Gary had not tweeted this out and sent this out to all of his – I got a text message from him as well on his – because you can subscribe to Gary's text. And he just blew the whole thing up. Like, I think that was – I don't know if that would have been the case if AJ had just done it himself, but
Nick, what you're saying is that Gary should have held those tweets off until after we had all gotten in on the mid, right?
Well, that's what he did.
Literally.
Like, he wasn't pumping VFriends. In fact, he was holding back when he launched VFriends. And I feel like that would have been the move here. He wanted to help his brother out, obviously. But it turned in like he helped him out so much that it turned into kind of a debacle. And if he's talking about refunding gas, that to me seems a little extreme. But
yeah, that'd be too extreme. If he could pump Pride Punks, I think that's fine enough for me. Don't need him to refund any gas.
We'll let him know. I'll DM AJ and tell him, hey, if you wouldn't mind just like pumping this project that my friend bought into, that'd be really cool. And I feel like that would make everything right with the world. Well, look, it's hump day. It's Wednesday. We are so delighted to have all of these audience members listening to the show. Really appreciate it. I think it's time for a little bit of a weather report from the weather reporter, Signal. How's it going, Signal?
Morning, folks. Let's get into the weather. Today is Wednesday, the 6th of April. Overnight, volume was at 124 million. Let's dig in and see what caused that. On the blue chip front, ape collections overall edging very quietly upwards. Apes at 111 ETH, mutants creeping at to 26, and dogs at 7.5. Azuki is at 27.5 ETH. Their beans climbing towards 6 ETH. We have Clonex at 19, Doodles at 16.7, and Muffus slightly down to 3.4. World of Women still sub 9 ETH, but Galaxy finding a steady range at 1.5 ETH. Over the past 24 hours, we just spoke about it, but Vayner Sports with a disastrous gas war, that's at 0.39 ETH. Overnight, Freemint Elogix is holding above a 0.2 ETH floor. The Discord was all over that. Few Woe World paint drops. They were circa 30,000 minted on Nifty Gateway, approximately 7,000 on OpenSea. It was a $1,000 mint, and that floor is at 0.5 ETH. The anime battle continues. Akuma taking the lead at a 1.5 ETH floor, while Kawami sits at 0.87, but this could all change depending upon Akuma reveal. There were some prize recoveries overnight. GNS Seeds at 1 ETH, Loser Club almost at 0.3 ETH, Mechaverse at 0.89 ETH, Freemint BFF Friendship Bracelets over 1 ETH now, and 10KTF Gucci back up over mint price. On the coins, BTC slightly down to 45K, ETH slightly down to 3.3K, and APE slightly down to $11 as well. On the OpenSea stats, midweek, we are 124 million in volume. We are 30% down from Sunday's high, but if we compare week to week, we are 50% higher in volume. The blue chip trickle-down effect, it's in motion as we see the biggest changes coming from the midships and the smaller chips. I expect we could be in a holding pattern above 100 million until the end of the week, but the 24-hour forecast is no clouds, clear skies ahead. Back to you in the studio.
Fantastic signal, as usual. Captain Kicks, anything to add to that weather report?
No, that was poetic. I'm just going to put that in a frame.
Well, if I could add anything from my personal weather report, I accurately predicted that 10 KTF was going to pump literally the day of. Don't really know how I was able to feel that, but I forgot that I had several high value 10 KTF items listed that I had bought weeks before. So I accidentally sold a Mutant Ape Yacht Club day pack for like a 0.1 ETH profit or something like that. And the floor like literally 3X'd from where I sold it for those particular assets. So I was considering just jumping out the window, but then I decided that I really liked this show and I wanted to, you know, be available to do it.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Also, Pio, if you are at the Ape Mansion, the window is on the first floor. So even if you were to jump out, not really a big fall to go from there. Just FYI.
That's true. I'm actually at my mom's house. So I'm not at the Ape Mansion. I'm at the Pio house. I don't know. I didn't have a joke there. Go ahead, Nick.
I didn't have anything to add there, actually, but I can confirm your location. And as people in the Discord have drawn, your house is built on stilts.
I did actually have two quick things bouncing off of Signal's awesome weather report. I dreamt this or it actually happened, but like, did Kuma, did they have like a metadata leak? Because I swear I saw like a bunch of like 4.25 ETH offers, which is like 2.5x above the floor. Got accepted.
Kicks. That was a mistake. Someone fat fingered like bot offers and offering like 3 ETH over the floor and is now trying to dump them at like 1.6.
Oh, Dan, that's not a fun way to lose money instantly. Feeling bad for that person out there. And then also Signal mentioned that what's it called? The monolith. It's like the monolith.
GNSS.
Yeah, they had a nice run up from the floor. They kind of consolidated at 0.4, 0.5, made a nice run back up to one. So congrats to anyone holding that.
Yeah, I was going to add one more thing. There was one that I spotted, which no one's really talking about. I don't know if anyone entered into it, but Bugatti, the car maker, they had a very niche, small NFT collection, and it's low in volume, but it has an 18 ETH floor.
That's pretty nuts. One thing that I've also been watching here is the dynamic of the floor between Azuki and Mutant Apes. I have this general feeling that Azuki is pulling up the price of Mutant Apes, and we've been seeing this this run on mutants at the moment with the floor continuing to appreciate. I mean, Bored Apes are also appreciating as well, but it's been an interesting dynamic, so interesting that one of my mutants ended up selling as a result of this appreciating floor, which is great and sad at the same time. But it's interesting to see the balance of that floor. I think the floor on the Azuki is 27.5 and Mutants is now 26.24, which is crazy.
That's pretty crazy. I did notice that Mutants were running because I think there were like 20, mine was like, much higher than I had anticipated that it was going to be. I feel like, you know, people sort of start sleeping on Bored Ape Yacht Club, then they wake up, and we've seen this cycle go through a couple of times. It would be absolutely insane to see a major move up from here, given the price action on both collections. I wanted to throw to Marco, also known as Rocinante Capital, a full-time crypto trader, but someone that's done very well in NFTs. You always seem to find yourself in the right project, and we haven't talked to you in a while, Marco. How's it going?
Oh, good. Never better. Thanks for asking, Pio. How's it going, gang?
It's going well, bro.
Good. Glad to hear it. So I just was on Twitter yesterday looking at like all the MFers I follow, and one of them posted, I guess it's a derivative project, but it's not an MFer. So maybe a little bit of a degen play, but it's called Daddies. And it's the dad instead of the kid at the computer. Twitter account is called Dartoshi instead of Sartoshi, so it's Dartoshi.
Yeah, like Dad Toshi. Yeah,
right. Yeah, exactly. And the mint is still open, and it looks like only there are 9,731 out of 10,021 available to mint yet. So it's like it hasn't even really kicked off the minting. So it's just one that I'm watching because it did make me chuckle in the same way that MFers did. Just one to watch out for.
I guess. The difference is it's not, you know, Sartoshi. It absolutely is a derivative degen play from what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean someone can't make money off of it, but, you know, it's the type of thing where you have to get in early. It has to sell out. There has to be some attention on it. You have to sell it early into the secondary. Otherwise, it's going to go to zero. I'd be curious, Marco, what, since your bread and butter is like the crypto side, and obviously the crypto markets heavily dictate what we see in the NFT markets, given the way that NFTs are priced, you know, priced in ETH. What are you seeing in the crypto markets right now?
Yeah, so I was pretty bullish at the double bottoms that we were seeing last month, and was riding those waves up, and then recently closed out my trades. I was chatting with Ben over in the Coin Traders channel in the Discord about this. We were going back and forth for months now, but recently there were just some macro kind of events. You know, the S&P we've seen before, where at this exact point, kind of like in the 2008 crash, there was a lower high made. And it was a relief rally before a major dump. And we have been seeing some things with like copper producers and traders, and also chemicals industry producers and traders. Those two things are used in most industries, so they can be predictive of like a recession. Whereas like yield curve inversions are maybe more of a lagging indicator. So those kinds of things made me really nervous. I watched some interviews this past week, and then was watching the S&P chart, and I was just thinking, you know what, I should probably close out some of these crypto trades. So it's been a little choppy. I mean, I have targets that are higher for a lot of these altcoins, but I think if Bitcoin's not going to hold where it was, then it could get pretty sour. I don't know. I was leaning bullish. Now I'm just like trying to play it more tactically and closing out my trades really early. So I'm not sitting in any long-term things right now. It's really just, you know, if I see opportunities, I'll take them. Even some stocks look interesting, but, you know, obviously this week it looks like stuff's going down, but we're still making higher lows. So I don't want to rule it out, you know, like bullish behavior in the market. We'll see. But to give you a sense of what those producers and traders are talking about, nobody can predict the future, but a lot of experts, boomer experts, are seeing a summer lull before, you know, the central banks really have to step in with more quantitative easing because, you know, of fear that they're going to break the markets entirely. They're probably going to start hiking aggressively, the Fed chair said this past week, and accelerate their hiking. So that could really do some damage. And I believe they could, because unemployment's been really low. So we've had a strong economy, and the stocks have been doing really well going into this week. So they have an excuse to hike aggressively, and that could damage the market short term.
Yeah, so, I can totally see that.
And I got a question for you.
Sorry.
I got a question for you, especially in regards to NFTs. You know, I'm not an economist. I did get an A in Econ 101, despite only to take the tests. I understand with the normal economy when they raise the rates, but do you think that that causes a pullback in all risk on assets like growth tech? And people like favor stuff like industrials. Normally you would think then that's bad for crypto and bad for NFTs, but it almost feels like the NFT market doesn't have enough like traditional investors that think like that, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Take the other side of that. I'd say, when you have, there are a lot of traditional investors in the crypto market. I don't think they're necessarily in the NFT ecosystem yet. I talk to hedge fund managers and TradFi, and they are all either in it or...
Oh, yeah, definitely in the crypto space. I mean, it's, trillion dollar plus market cap. I'm saying, specifically NFTs, because, my understanding is it's a lot of, funds and people with lots of money that have to, reallocate their risk in big ways when these kind of macro environments happen. But I'm just thinking all the degen NFT traders are, is a degen NFT trader be like, ah, oh, shit, the Fed's raising the rates. I need to sell this 4-8 right now.
Right. It's just a factor of thinking about your cash on hand. Right. And if you're holding NFTs because you want to anticipate ETH falling and thus, you making a higher ETH stack because you want to hold long term, then that's great. At the same time, if ETH is falling faster than your NFT is accelerating in ETH terms, then you're still down in cash and you could have just bought more NFTs cheaper.
Yeah, very
good
point.
It's really a toss-up, and right now my only recommendation, not financial advice, but it would just be to stay hedged, keep a little bit of everything, but hold on to some cash, especially this week, man, because we have only less than 2 weeks now until U.S. taxes are due. And a lot of these degen traders, we were all making money last year and probably haven't finalized calculating exactly what we owe.
But they're going to H&R Block and filing an extension.
Yeah, we'll see. It's rough right now.
Did I change the channel here and I left it on C-SPAN or something? My brain's starting to hurt from all this intelligent talk. Can we talk about a poop NFT or something?
Sorry.
I actually enjoy this because this is outside my lane and I need more DeFi education, and so it's really helpful. But I just want to give a shout out to Marco. He gave out a couple months ago a couple coins. One was Zilliqa. I don't know if you put any in, but it 4x last week. Of course I had some in, and I pulled it out because he needed liquidity. And so I just want, and you when I followed up with you, you were like, here's a couple good coins. If you think ETH is going to do well, these are going to do well. And that's something that I've noticed just as a normie. It seems to me when ETH is pumping, I want to actually get rid of my ETH and put it in some other just good coins. It's like, for me, it's almost like I like to have ETH when the market's bad, but when ETH is pumping, I feel like I get better returns on, when ENS was doing well, I was doing better on ENS. When I have some in gaming coins, this Vulcan Forge and a couple other things that are just pumping. So what's your thought on that? I mean, assuming you can go into our fantastic coin channel and actually get some decent recommendations on alts.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was like a lot of, I don't know, it was strange. A lot of the old boomer coins were popping off and they were setting up earlier than a lot of the other stuff. And we just saw Doge and SHIB start to rally. So usually that happens at the tail end of these altcoin pumps, right, when the memes come back in. Our token, the pirate coin, was doing pretty well early on. But, it was pretty much grab anything you want. Just go to the store, pick up any candy, and it'll do well for a little bit there. But you really need ETH to be up there, like you say. So yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like Bitcoin, people look at Bitcoin to trade alts. They're not necessarily doing short-term trades on Bitcoin unless you're using leverage. The same thing with ETH. As amazing as ETH is, and the merge coming up this year, if ETH's doing really well, then you can outperform it sometimes with other coins, but it's a tough game to play. I mean, especially with the ladder.
You guys are hilarious. Marco is a full-time crypto trader that purely trades off of technical analysis. And Jesse just asks Marco what to buy and blindly buys it. Just total gambling versus a bit of sophistication. We've got the Iceman.
I mean, in all honesty, he just dropped a bunch of coins one day in a show about 6 weeks ago. And if people would have looked into them, you know, and maybe look to diversify, do the same thing, you know, with Kicks. If I would have followed him into Bado and a couple other things, he just casually mentioned LPing Ape one day. And we didn't really get into it, but I was like, oh, that's like the perfect play for me. So sometimes these little mini alphas can actually turn into something. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, I do DeFi like basically Wordle. I just start typing in letters, whatever pops up. Yeah, Zilla, you know, Alluvium, cool. TX, yeah, 2E, let's go. No, but I mean, when the market's going great, that's fine. But I do, because everybody talks about diversification, and I'm like, well, what do I diversify? Even if I want to get into altcoins, what do I do? And so that's why I really do have to kind of just rely on people like Marco and Kicks and some other people that are at least, because they don't tell me, what's good about them is that they're not going to just show you a chart. They like know that that's what I like, is that most of the people that really know coins, I know that it's like, there's all this fancy double bottom cross, you know, whatever it is, triple pyramid, diamond. But like they know the narrative, and like I said, he basically said, like, if you think ETH is going to, like, they can basically explain it to you in pretty plain language. And that's what I need. It's like, if they're like, okay, if you want to hedge this, do this. And that's, you know, again, until I get more educated, that's kind of the best I can do if I want to just balance the portfolio.
Jesse, don't undersell yourself either. The king of DGEN and of cheat trades. what I would say is, like, yeah, man, I like, to everybody, you know, the more tools you have in your belt, the more markets you're watching, the better entire picture you have. Like, just real quick, you know, 2020, it was amazing getting in early into crypto. 2021, everybody got in, and we all thought it was going to be an excellent year towards the end of it. And sure enough, it was up and down, and because of macro forces. But I was only trading the crypto markets, and I realized last year, like, oh man, I really have to expand my horizons to know how this market's going to play out. Because, you know, I just assumed, I was such a bull last year. I was like, you know, crypto, it doesn't matter what other markets are doing. Like, crypto's so strong. But no, it's not the way, because, like you say, we have big investors and now, and their Kicks, like he was mentioning, they rebalance their portfolios. You know, if their Apple stock isn't doing well, they have to rebalance. They have to sell off some stuff to get some cash. So they will sell off their risk stuff. And it's just, you know, you have to pay attention to everything these days, especially with wars going on.
And so I was going to say that two things. One, Jesse, you are being sophisticated by listening to this show and making an instant trade based on a pick that some random person posts on stage. That's the way to trade. So that's rule number one. You're being sophisticated. If you had gone back only 2 days ago and listened to my trade, which I was suggesting based on Cool Cats, you would have lost money. So, but that said, you know, if you end up making those trades enough, Pio doesn't even remember that went down. It's so long ago. But in terms of that individual trade, in general, in all honesty, buying based on people's trades on here is not good. But with coins, it's an interesting one, because you also have instant liquidity where you can just click sell and you're good to go. It's completely different than selling NFTs. And so if the trade moves against you, you could just set up, you know, levels and be like, oh, I'm down 5%. Okay, I'm going to get out. It's way harder to do that with NFTs because it's a race in a liquidity crunch. So it's two separate markets. The thing I was going to mention on the token side is the ApeCoin. How are we feeling about that? It's down at, I think, 11.
Is it still 11? Yeah.
Yeah. Off of the top of 14, 15, something like that. Of like,
well, Nick, what I think is that you are a known participant in a scam, Ponzi scheme, that is trying to milk average investors out of billions of dollars. That's what I think, Nick. No, in all seriousness, did you guys hear the rumors that the people said yesterday?
What rumors?
The guy came up on stage, I thought. And he was like, my source like has a high degree of certainty that all of the land will be priced in Ape, and said, remember he said like all of the apes are going to get like land together in the middle of the map, and then the mutants are going to be in a ring around them, and then the public will be around that. That happened yesterday, right?
Yeah, you came
like 20 minutes late. He did have a nice rundown. Go ahead, Signal.
I was just going to ask Rocinante, because off the back of that rumor, if that is true, and you're watching the ape charts, have you seen any unusual buys in the last sort of 7 days that would indicate that people are sizing in because land will be bought in ape?
To be fair, I haven't been looking at the ape chart, and I I really don't look at order flows as much. In my style, the thing is, I mean, the chart is too new for a technical trader to come in.
Unacceptable.
Yeah. He's just giving you a reasonable response, and you're like, no.
it's akin to gambling. I mean, when you don't have levels to go off, you really don't know. Okay, if I'm sizing my trade and I want to put a stop loss in, I want to get as low as possible to a point of inflection, you know, support resistance. And if I don't know where those are, I can't size up my trades and assess my risk to reward. So that's the only problem. I mean, the coin seems bullish as hell. If the whole market's going up, that's one I want to be holding, especially for the meme value of it and the utility that it has. So from a fundamentals point, awesome. From a technical standpoint, I just have no idea. I'm sorry, dude. It did make like a little pattern that's bullish, but I hesitate to call it anything when it's so new, you know?
I'm interested in buying more at the $6 to $9 range.
Yeah, that would be like the looks play, right? Like it just got crushed over time.
There's no way six is happening, I don't think. I think people, if anything, because this is such a short-sighted six, I think people even know the landing's coming in like 2 weeks, but everybody's like, I'm just going to hold off to buy while I, you know, get the fuck render or whatever else they're like have their eye on in the meantime. I mean, nine, I think, would be, under nine seems unrealistic, I think, before like May 15th.
How many people are going to see the market going down today and haven't liquidated any of their free ape tokens yet? You know, like that's the ongoing risk, is like how many holders are there still of this token that still needs to get distributed throughout the whole crypto holder base. And right now it's still, you know, a few holders.
Conversely, the question I have is how do the tokens get redistributed back into the ecosystem? If Bored Ape Yacht Club is selling merch, for example, for ApeCoin, how do we end up redistributing those back to people? Do they end up just selling that into the market?
Yeah, exactly. I just mean if the holders that receive the token sell it.
No, I understand what you're saying, but I'm trying to get the answer to this question. Which,
yeah, I don't think that they can do it in ApeCoin. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but if you buy up all the ApeCoin, at some point you have to generate that into revenue, or you end up becoming almost like Enron, where you're booking profits on paper profits, right? Because
they're not burning the tokens. So,
well, no, they have to sell them, right? They have to resell them on the open market to realize actual gain. Otherwise, you're Enron, because what Enron did was they booked gains that didn't exist, that were just like on their books. And by owning your own token, you're just like self-dealing at some level.
I don't think the land is being sold in Ape token. I think that's an inaccurate rumor. And I mean, more importantly, we still don't have clarification of how they redistribute it back into the market, and them selling it is inherently a bad thing. So I think it will have to be something that's determined by like the DAO or something, or they genuinely are selling it into the market, in which case, like, the last thing you want is them to sell anything in Ape token.
It's a dangerous rumor to base your buying of Ape based on like this perceived utility, right? Because land costs a lot, which means you need a lot of Ape. But, you know, typically these guys do their sales in ETH.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to get into the real interesting challenge of building an economy that, like, we're dealing with every day at Crypto Raiders, which is that you need to build sinks, but then you also a lot of times need faucets to attract new players, right? So, like, they're going to try to create sinks with, like, digital assets that you can buy for your land, or like that you can buy for your avatars, right? And that's going to cause people to spend Ape. I guess what'll be interesting is where they funnel that money. Do they burn it off? I don't know if they want to burn it off. I don't know if Ape is a fixed supply. Does that money go back to the DAO or whatever? But then they're also going to need faucets to like get people kind of into the ecosystem. That's what they're doing with the Monica Brands and the Benji Bananas or whatever. Like I think I heard that that's play to earn and you'll earn Ape, right? So it's going to be, you know, really interesting. But in order for, you know, the value to truly appreciate in the long run, I mean, Sandbox is going to have the same issue. Like everyone's going to have the same issue, but you know, they're going to need more net spenders than earners. And that's tricky, man. But I think I mean, once again, it's like, you know, who are you going to bet on that can pull this off? You know, probably Yuga Labs. And that's it.
Yeah. And I think one of the issues, Kicks, is that when you think about using your Ape tokens to buy merch or in-game characters or something, you're also spending your governance and your ability to vote on proposals. So I personally think that they're going to do this land sale in ETH, but use the ecosystem within that as the APE token. I think that would probably be the
right. That's what I thought too, Ben.
Yeah. I think it's just rumors at this point about the land sale, but I have heard from credible sources that is the case. So I wouldn't want to bet against it either.
Wow. I just think the issue of, to me, it makes more sense if the token is being utilized in a marketplace. That seems like the much better place to do it, where like ApeCoin becomes the transaction platform in their metaverse or their metaverse marketplace, which is kind of what we were alluding to yesterday, where you can go and buy other avatars, other projects, other NFTs in that marketplace using denominated in ApeCoin. That to me seems like something much better, because then we're trading amongst ourselves and we've generated an actual marketplace. But if we funnel all the money back into Bored Ape Yacht Club with ApeCoin, that to me just seems pretty crazy. Unless they decide to do another airdrop back to holders, which would potentially be interesting, which is also questionable. And then saying, like, at what point, like, is this not a security?
There's still such a large portion of it, though, that is either going to be released to the members of the DAO or at least voted on to distribute in ways that the community approves of. And, you know, which could be to other projects as well, like, you know, either projects that are now owned by Yuga or at least affiliated with, like, you know, anyone that might have affiliations with Gaia Osiri, like, you know, A World of Woman or something like that, where maybe the community votes on being that faucet that Catherine was talking about to other communities that are agreed upon. And there's so much of it to be allocated still that hasn't been agreed upon yet, that a lot of it will be speculation, even just about like who gets the rest of the tokens.
I think that dollar cost averaging into ApeCoin is the approach that I take. And I understand where Marco's coming from, thinking as a short-term or medium-term technical trader that, you know, the idea is you can't really trade it yet. Well, if you're just if you're bullish on Yuga Labs, if you think that ApeCoin represents the NFT market in an altcoin, if you think that it's basically a top five coin for the mainstream, right? When you sort of think about the coins that have come out and what has real utility and what actually represents something in the market, I'm pretty comfortable dollar cost averaging into it, especially since you can buy it on platforms like Gemini and maybe even Coinbase, where if you use the pro versions of those that don't cost any more money for you to use and actually have a very, very low fee, like you could probably buy $200 worth of ApeCoin for like $3 US or maybe even a smaller fee, it starts to, you know, make a lot of sense to just dollar cost average it into it for a long-term investment. But no doubt in my mind at all that over time, it's going to be so fascinating to see how Yuga Labs utilizes it, what gets priced in ETH, what gets priced in ApeCoin, and how that whole thing plays out. So we've talked a lot about the coins. I do want to get back to NFTs. We've got Bert on stage, and Bert is a valued member of the Nifty Portal Discord, also someone that has been shouting from the rooftops about 10KTF for literally months. I feel like when Bert came on the YouTube channel, that was probably at least a month ago, and he was talking about 10KTF then. It almost felt like he was beating a dead horse then. Like, I remember, Bert, you didn't even really want to talk about it because you'd been talking about it so much. You slipped it in at the end. I'd love to know, what are you seeing in the NFT space right now, Bert?
Real quick, Bert is a coin trader master too. We were going back and forth on looks when it first dropped, and he was telling me, "Dude, it's going up to this price." And I was like, "I'm bearish," and he was so right, and I was so wrong. So kudos to Bert.
Bert, you there?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? So really quick, just want to touch on one small. What's up?
What was that, Kix?
I think he accidentally unmuted.
Okay, Bert, what's going on?
So really quick with like the 10KTF stuff, of course, like, I mean, I feel like I've been on repeat for months. And I mean, I don't get tired of it. It's my jam. And like, just like Josh has his B-Friends and World of Women trades, like that's my highest conviction trade by far. Still waiting on Josh to do a little bit of a deep dive into 10KTF. But Everybody's
talking
about
what, dude? I did, and I like it. I did a deep dive, and I do like it. I mean, I'm a little late for the party, though. But I picked up a couple day packs and exited those, but I did a little bit of it.
Yeah, nice. It's interesting because, like, they have their Neo Tokyo dollar, which you can accumulate now if you stake the tools. And one thing I'm looking at now, a lot of people have their eyes on the Genesis or the Grail collection, the normal collection that everybody kind of goes to. But the stock room is maybe a sneaky play since all of those materials are very deflationary. I've been loading up on like the rubber, the cloth, things like that. It sounds a bit ridiculous, but when you really dive into the mechanics of it, if the shop opens back up and you can begin to craft again, then like those day packs and shoes and even the hats and socks, they're going for like a 4 or 5x right out the gate, especially if you get a rare. So, I mean, that's a huge arbitrage play.
Well, Bert, like, you know, they used to call me the rubber baron. I used to own 30 rubbers.
So, you know, they're sitting at like 0.4 right now. And I sold my thread yesterday for like 0.69, which I mean,
I know, dude. I just sold one. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm selling a digital piece of thread that I bought for 0.11 for 0.69. We were literally on a live stream, PO, Nick, and I, and we all were buying into 10KTF stockroom. And then we realized we were the only buyers. And like, I went to spend like 5K, but I spent 25K, but it worked out.
That was a highlight moment. We need to go back and have that clipped because that was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, I want to recap that real quick. We were on a live stream and we were just learning about, you know, 10KTF. It was so early into the 10KTF, you know, just being around, and we found out about Stockroom, and without hesitation, Kix bought, it was under $25,000 worth of 10KTF, but we had like limited information, and right there on the show, yeah, he bought $25,000 worth, and right after he did it, we were like, wow, you really went hard, huh? And he was like, how much, you know, however much ETH it was, he was like, how much was that in dollars? And he was like, is it under 25,000? We were like, yeah, I think it's like 24,000. He's like, okay, it's okay then. It's okay. And we were going through all of the buys on 10KTF Stockroom. And I was like, okay, so there's Nick. Oh, and there's Kix. There's Micah G. And we just all had a moment and we were like, we're the only people buying this right now. So that was really early. That was hilarious. But obviously it's worked out. It's just taken a long time to materialize. And it's also one of those things where for 7 months, it doesn't move. And then literally one day, as in, I think, what, 2 nights ago, it just started to move and started to pump. And idiots like me accidentally sell stuff because they forgot it's listed.
And I got a quick question for Bert. Bert, you mentioned that, you know, the stock room is deflationary. And I agree with you. I mean, the reusable items aren't, but like, you know, the rubber, the thread, the cloth, all of that is deflationary. Do you think that they'll have to do another airdrop of that? And then if so, which collection will they airdrop to? Will they airdrop to Genesis pieces again?
So I think another airdrop's coming, but it says specifically in the properties that those are all level one items. And one thing that we know is that the game's coming out, the battle of like New Tokyo or for Wagyu-san, whatever it's called. And like you look at some of the teasers, it's literally like a, what's that movie? It's like a Transformer type avatar.
Transformers?
So, Mecha? Well,
so, yeah, so it's like a Transformer in a way. So I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, Mecha, whatever.
Mechaverse.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if like the next drop is for like weapons, avatars for that battle. They tease little, it was like Wagyu-san in like a green suit. So I don't know what the fuck that is. But I mean, clearly something else is coming to the stock room. So I think the play is definitely to load up on the level one items, and then whenever that level two drop comes, holding the more rare or uncommon Genesis pieces are going to give you better drops whenever that time comes around. So, like, that's what I'm stocking up on is the uncommons and the rares. And then, like, you look at the backers behind 10KTF, they have Gaio Siri, Beeple, Michael Fig, they have Animoca Brands, FTX, Alameda Research, Digital Currency Group, like absolute heavy hitters. It's no reason for me not to put basically all of my funds into that project just because I have so much conviction in it. And I don't really care how long it takes, but I think it's safe to say they're going to be around for a long, long time. And they actually, during the LA meetup, they teased their updated map of New Tokyo, and they actually had the other side cabin added into the overall map. So,
whoa.
Some way, shape, or form is definitely connected. So like, I think whatever that ApeCoin mechanic's going to be, the Neo Tokyo dollar might have a role bigger than a lot of people assume, just from the current point of view. So that's kind of what I'm betting on.
Yeah, I mean, DeFarmer literally put that tweet out where it was, what, yesterday or 2 days ago, where he's like, the rumors are basically confirmed with other side, and how does this not have a one ETH floor? I mean, that was, if you didn't, you know, have an inkling to buy before that, then I don't know what that, you know, come on, figure it out. So we have a new speaker I don't think we've had on stage before, Witters. Looks like you are an artist. Would love to know about, you know, what market activity you're paying attention to, what NFTs you've been buying or selling, what's going on?
Good morning, y'all. I was actually going to ask Nick and Pio, I played y'all as my reply in the World of Women and Bad Cards game. The prompt card was, what is there a lot of in heaven? And I said, I didn't win, but I said, all the people that get on Nick and Pio's Morning Alpha show and chill.
Wow.
Well, that's pretty funny. I don't know if anyone got the joke because they probably don't know who we are, but how did that one go over?
I got second, so we were almost, wow, almost had it. So
were there only two people there? Were there only two people there? Yeah.
No, I think there was like over 300 replies. So it was pretty good.
Well, that's really cool. Thank you for shouting us out. That's really cool.
Yeah, I want to say thank you for that. That makes me feel good.
But yeah, so with liquidity, you know, increasing in scarcity and the new wallets coming in being more than likely shallow and a greater chance of being scared, I've been stacking all of my blue chips and like projects that have already proven their longevity, like Crypto Skulls, like just being they've completely redid everything, and they dropped their V2 collection. They formed a DAO. The founder transferred 1,500 skulls into the DAO wallet. And so I'm pretty skullish, but
skullish, very nice.
Yeah. So and then for new projects, I have my eyes on the Pika runes that Pranksy's been promoting, and I had my eye on Moonbirds until I found out how much it was going to be. So,
yeah. So Moonbirds, that's the Kevin Rose project. People that own Proof, the Proof NFT, they're going to get airdropped to Moonbirds. So massive, massive value. Shout out to anybody that had the wherewithal to buy a Proof NFT when they dropped it one ETH, because now the floor is 70 ETH and you're going to get two Moonbirds. And the speculation is that Moonbirds are going to sell out at the, you know, right away in the Dutch auction, potential gas war. And I think that's going to be like two and a half ETH. Witters, do you know what the price is at first?
2.5, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
That's crazy. Well, Kevin Rose is going to be coming on this show. We are working to get him booked with his executive assistant right now. So really excited to have him on. But Witters, that was fantastic. You're welcome to come on the show anytime and stick around and just, you know, anything you want to contribute, you're welcome to. So we've got a Hyper GK who looks like they have a CloneX. Looks like you might have, yeah, some pretty cool other stuff like G-Vols. What's going on?
Hi. So first of all, thanks for inviting me on stage. Long time listener, first time caller, as they used to say in the days of talk radio. I wanted to chat about if anybody's holding an old project from, well, I say old, about August, Evolved Apes, that was a rug pull. The team, the original team behind it obviously pulled, but the community had been working with Daz3D, who are the same people who did the renders for CloneX and also had their own PFP collection, non-fungible people. And they're basically doing a vampire attack on the original rug pull project, where anybody who owns an evolved ape gets a free mint into Fightback Apes, which are fully 3D rendered avatars, much better quality than the original art. And really, the main two reasons I wanted to bring this up was, A, if anybody owns one of the originals, which, you know, there's not much point holding on to the evolved apes right now, apart from for this reason. But also, if you want to get in on it, Daz 3D have been, I think their 3D renders are pretty damn impressive. Like I said, CloneX and Non-Fungible People. But then on top of that, coming from more of a DeFi background for myself originally, it reminds me of the vampire attack on Sushi when it was rugged. Sorry, the response from the community when Sushi was rugged, and then the community built it back up. And so that, because there was this strength within the community of like trying to revive what would otherwise have been a dead project, I think there's a lot of potential there, but obviously still a lot of question marks. And yeah, I just wanted to make sure everybody knew, in case they hadn't evolved ape lying around that they thought was worthless, that it might be worth them getting on board and checking that out.
So I'm like, it's going to be a really tough sell for me to get in on any sort of like ape derivative type of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody else has any sort of perspective on this, but like, you know, for me, I've gone so far away from projects that are even in that direction. To me, it's just not worth it. I understand that while one pumps really hard, like I remember Lil Baby Apes pumped really hard until someone figured out that there's like a Nazi outfit or something in that weird project. But I just like, I just can't do it. Anything else you're looking at, man? I mean, you got the CloneX, you got the G-Vols, that's good stuff. Any other like maybe non-derivative stuff you're looking at?
Well, I mean, my main thing at the moment, obviously, it's not something for people to buy into now, but I just want to know what's in the monoliths for CloneX. That's basically what I'm sitting on and just waiting. As far as new projects, yeah, there's been a few, but nothing that's really got me super hyped, to be honest. It's all the projects that you guys already know about, and all those projects that are already, you know, pumping in price. Like everything's moving into the blue chips right now for the most part, or, you know, high quality projects.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, that project, the what's in the box is the big question that everybody's asking about Monolith. And I think that they're probably going to melt faces. I mean, I don't know. It's hard. Like there's so much anticipation built up. That's like prime to be able to, you know, maybe mess it up. But, you know, you never know. But, yeah, thanks for coming on stage, man, and stick around. We got Connor Gotten NFT. Looks like you're an alpha caller for G-Baby's Alpha. Well, what's your call right now, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Welcome to the stage.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I don't know if you all have talked about it yet. One thing that is coming up in about a week or so is one called, I think it's pronounced like Alioverse or Iloverse, something like that.
I'm not familiar. Anyone familiar with that?
No.
It is. It's,
it's
like
not one... like Elio Trades. That's not. It's
no,
not
no,
something...
no, 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 okay. No. Yeah. No. It's one where I think they're doing like a. It's like cats and a mecha one. It's a 3D art. It looks pretty interesting, but they're doing it where you get a cat and a mecha, like a robot, as two separate NFTs, and then you combine those. I think they're all three like separate collections.
And it's called Alioverse, like A-L-I-O?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Is that a toy booger that you have as your picture?
No, my picture is My Pet Hooligan.
My pet, that's what I meant. My Pet Hooligan. How's that project doing?
You call that a booger, Pia. You understand how insulting that is?
No, I know My Pet Hooligan. It's the rabbits with the guns, right, Kix?
Yeah.
Did Kix just get rugged as soon as he made that joke? That's what happens, Kix. You make a joke about me and Twitter just rugs you. No. So what is going on with My Pet Hooligan? That project, I remember, had an Alex Becker pump. Is that correct?
Yeah, they originally did have something to do with Neo Tokyo. I minted them whenever they first came out, got out of the project, and then bought back in. I think it's going to be definitely something that's more of like a midterm, long-term hold. They've kind of been teasing that something new might be coming out that we haven't heard about yet. The most recent thing we had a lot of Azuki people sweep the floor. It got up to like 1.6 and then it stalled, and now it's dropping back down to like 1.3, 1.4.
Okay, got it. Well, yeah, I mean, I know, like, I looked at it at 0.2 early on, and I should have pulled the trigger knowing it was a Becker pump, but I didn't. Obviously, big regrets there. But yeah, thanks for coming on stage, and people in our Discord are posting that project that you talked about, so I think some people are going to dive in and do some research on it, figure out what the deal is. Jonah, the gaming specialist, the deep researcher, the guy that nearly bats 1,000 when he makes a call. What's going on, Jonah?
Bro, you're setting me up for failure every time, and I'll just have to keep going with it. So, yeah, a lot of like little updates. I'll say the one thing that really blows my fucking mind, like we're all in this metaverse thing, but I didn't see one Twitter post yesterday about the State of Unreal Conference. Have any of you heard about the State of Unreal Conference?
Is that like Unreal, like Unreal Engine?
Unreal Engine, like the thing that actually powers these things we all want to buy.
Ooh, what do they do?
So they had the State of Unreal Engine yesterday. Unreal Engine 5 is officially out of beta, and anyone with an Epic Game Store account can download Unreal Engine as of today. And I will also say they gave some more updates on their systems, which are called Nanite and Lumen. Nanite is basically a fuck you to polycounts. If you don't know what a polycount is, it's basically how many geographic like items you can have on a screen before your computer crashes, like physical items, static or non-static. Nanite will pretty much change gaming significantly because now you're going to have photorealistic objects in the metaverse, their metaverses anyway, or metaverses you build on Unreal. And then Lumen is a whole new like update to basically ray tracing, which is how you get photorealistic lighting and illumination. Now, the funny fucking part is expect to see a rug pull game using Unreal Engine very soon because they released a fully operational test multiplayer shooter game called Project Lyra, which is like a harken back to their Unreal tournament days. Lyra, you can get out of the box right now, already ready to go. And I bet there's a scammer right now as we're talking, reskinning that game and selling it as an NFT, and we'll probably make $20 million+. Because honestly, if you have a remote understanding of Unreal Engine, which I'm not a developer, so I'm not that versed, but there are some that do, you could reskin this, add a couple of apes to it, and call it the biggest game in all of NFTs because there's such a low barrier to entry here. So Lyra came out yesterday as a fully downloadable, editable, multiplayer, third-person shooter game on Unreal Engine 5. So that's that. Next, you have a game I actually knew about him a year ago. I know the founder when he was building this game called BR1. They recently got a deal with Fractal, and Fractal raised $35 million last week to do more onboarding experiences. But it's a kind of high-risk, high-reward battle royale game on Solana. Looks interesting. I think it needs probably a year or two of full work before it becomes like a big consumer product, but they're minting soon. I'll tell you a project. Oh, I had Matt and Jack from Rendezvous Equity on my podcast yesterday. They have a lot of NFTs. They are big bag holders. And I was combing through their public wallet yesterday and I noticed this game called Red Village, which is already sold out, but they minted over 250 of those. So do what you will with that. I have no idea. I got my Midnight Society email. Midnight Society is moving forward. And they didn't get as much flack as people thought on YouTube. They got it for like 2 days and then people got tired and forgot. So I'm still bullish on Midnight Society. Call of Duty, Charlie Intel, which is a massive magazine for Call of Duty and FPS. Apparently there's a leak, and Charlie Intel has usually pretty good leaks, usually accurate rumors, that Call of Duty is looking into NFTing their guns and their skins. If that happens, I will start a Call of Duty guild. You're free to join my guild. What else on here? I make a list like every day. Oh, follow up on a project I already minted. I still own two of them. Colton Rain, which does these crazy shoes. They're releasing a Letterman jacket, like a really cool Letterman jacket. And I had this is disclosure, you know, I know them personally. I had a long personal phone call, private phone call, and public meeting about how they can bring some value back to their holders because they had such a high mint price. And we all came to the conclusion that they will be building a PFP avatar project. So that is
look at that, Jonah, just dropping research all over the place. I mean, look, I'm going to have to re-listen to this recording with a goddamn notebook. That was cross-chain, cross-industry.
I do my work.
Yeah, you do your work. All right, buddy. That was incredible. Jonah is a financial advisor, ladies and gentlemen, fiduciary, the whole nine yards. So just make sure that you register with him and he will take care of you. He's gotten me insane Bernie Madoff level returns with, I think, a similar, you know, structure of operating to Bernie Madoff. So very, very cool guy. Thank you so much. Nick, were you going to add something there?
No, I was just going to confirm that he's basically the single best financial advisor that I've ever had.
There you go.
The good news is when I actually end up in jail, like, and I get the court video, you can license that video from me so I can get good commissary at the local prison tennis club.
It's going to be like a Curb Your Enthusiasm moment. It's going to be like, yeah, I went on this space and I was talking about NFTs, and the people in jail are going to be like, what? And you're gonna be like,
put me in an NFT prison hall. It's all the greatest scammers in one hall. It's like a DC Comics like start to a villain movie.
Well, no, it's with Beanie. That was basically like an inevitability. You're saying like when you go to jail.
No, I hope I don't. But like, if they keep calling me a financial advisor, I expect I'm gonna be in trouble at some point.
If Jonah goes to jail, then something's wrong with the justice system for sure. Benjamin, my ninja alerts just went off. You just bought something.
Bro, that is just live wallet stalking. Oh, my God.
Sir, you just clicked the button and I saw.
It's like that, man. I usually get DMs, but not live on a Twitter space like that.
Just like the girl in Wedding Crashers, like, I'm watching you or I'll find you.
I'll find you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny. I was actually going to ask Jonah what he thought about this, but there's a project that I had been looking into for a little while. And I'm finally starting to go through some tabs that are open on my Chrome. So this is about 2 weeks delayed that I was expecting to buy this, but it's a project called NFT 2040, and it's a battle royale game. So if you ever play like Call of Duty, shooting games, stuff like that. So it's an NFT blockchain game where you can play these battle royales. It's in beta right now. You have to buy this crate in order to get access to it. There's tokens involved. There's in-game NFTs involved. And apparently you can drop your own NFTs in there. So I was DMing with the team a little bit and decided to pull the trigger. I bought one of them, going to test it out and try a little bit.
On their screen, is this their gameplay, their alpha?
Yeah, yeah.
This looks pretty good. A lot of Rainbow Six like swerving, which makes me dizzy. But other than that, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're not going to get, you know, AAA level right off the bat, right? Like we're going to have a little bit of a waiting period before all these games become exactly what we would expect from a playable game. But right close to like a out of the box playable game, as I've seen in NFTs. So thanks for calling me out on that, PO, but it's something that I wanted to try out and test out a little before I started spreading the word on it. But
I'll say one thing. So no one knows of the Ultimate Alpha. I know basically the first VR game to have NFTs like ever. And this happened last year. It's by AEX Lab. They're based out of Miami. And they have a metaverse VR game that is like a Counter-Strike in VR. And they're the first VR game I've ever seen to have NFTs. So like, I'm looking to probably get one of those at some point, because in 30 years when we're all in the wearing VR headsets, that, you know, for me, that's like the punks of the VR space.
Well, and look, I recognize that that's a little bit of an invasion of privacy. So any speakers on stage, like, let me know if you don't want me to immediately say that you bought or sold something as the notification pops up.
Just say that.
I don't even know if my transaction was confirmed yet. I think you were looking at the pending and spreading the word. No, I don't care, PO. You know I don't.
Sounds good, Vince. Sounds good. I mean, hey, when people have big followings and they have public wallets, it's kind of par for the course. I was getting killed in the 10KTF Discord, absolutely killed for selling that stuff, and I just didn't even remember it was listed. And plus, the floor went up like 200% after I sold it, so it's not even like I did well on it. But anyway, you know, we've got a couple new speakers on stage, Subpar Ceiling. I think you have been on the show before. What's going on? You there, Subpar Ceiling?
P.O., maybe? You can rotate me off you if you want.
All right, Marco, I'm going to drop you for today. Thanks for coming, bud. Yep. All right, we're going to let a few more speakers on stage. Looks like we have one sec.
While you're going, I don't know if people want to do like a real quick on the Vayner Sports thing. It was obviously a, I don't know, what was it, .18 or so, .155, massive gas war. I think it was basically an ETH with gas. I set my buy price at .33. And we basically whoppy, and a couple of people were like, no way. Went into 0.5. I said, meh. So yeah, he apologized for the, and then it went to 0.33, which is at now, and I still haven't bought. This is usually the biggest mistake. It hits your target price, and you're like, oh, maybe it'll keep going lower. So it might be, I don't know what Jonah thinks. I mean, Josh thinks. I don't know if it's, you know, if it's a good buy at this point. It's probably getting close. He basically covered his brother's ass. He clearly said, you know, Gary has nothing to do with this. This is all on me. He's working on VFriends, you know, too. I'm sorry for the gas war. I mean, it is kind of an abomination for the whole fake stealth mints thing is just absurd that this still happens. It's one thing if it's like one guy like Wolfers. This is absurd that this continues to happen. I mean, it's a pretty bad look. I don't care if Gary's not involved. Like, Gary's right there, but it's clearly not directly related. He's connected. People like sports, people like NFTs, people like fake utility. We're in the faux utility phase of the NFT ecosystem. So I still think, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if this went from 0.33 at some point to like 0.7 in a month, but I'm still staying away.
So here's my thoughts. And I mentioned it at the very beginning of the show, but there's obviously a lot of people that weren't here at the start. I want to be transparent disclosure. I'm friends with AJ. We were talking this morning via text.
I got a transparent disclosure for you. I'm actually friends with his brother, Gary Vaynerchuk. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Never
transparent disclosure. Just want y'all to know that.
I'm also friends with Vayner Sports, head of gaming. So that's also a disclosure. Darren Glover, he's fucking dope.
I'm friends with Joe Biden. I go ahead.
My take on it is he acknowledged it didn't go as well as it could. I think he's probably going to work very hard to fix that. My position is I bought 20 this morning so far. Going to probably continue to buy throughout the day, depending on pricing. Maybe it's the right play. Maybe it's the wrong play, but that's my take on it.
.33 just seems low. It just seems low. I mean, .155 obviously was the mint, but I think everybody wanted in on it. So I don't know why, I just don't know why people can't just be like, okay, listen, we kind of fucked up. We're going to take like a few days. Like, it's AJ Vaynerchuk. You don't have to worry about it, like him going away or losing momentum and being like, okay, we realize like this isn't going to work. It's going to be a massive gas war. I just don't understand how you could ever justify just throwing this money to miners. Like, people complain about a Dutch auction. At least a Dutch auction goes to the artist. If it's overpriced, it's overpriced, but no one is forced to buy. But just to give it away to miners, to me, it just should never, ever, ever happen. And they just should have repriced it, started over. But I agree. I think it's low. 0.33 seems way too low. I mean, obviously, I was curious what people thought.
I guess we're all silent on the matter.
Sorry, I was muted. I was talking. I was muted. I just brought Carolina on stage, and Carolina is, a bull, a Gary V bull, from my understanding. I know that you have V Friends 1, Carolina. We were talking about the V Friends 2 play with the book game tokens, and so you and Josh are kindred spirits in that regard. Quickly, and I do want to move on just because we've talked about this project a lot. Are you getting exposure to Vayner Sports, and how are you going to play that?
Thank you for the invitation. I'm definitely bullish on everything Gary's doing. But AJ, I don't know. I don't know him that well. I don't know much about the past yet. Like, I heard about it from Gary on Monday because he mentioned it. And I think that's where the whole gas war thing went out of control. because whatever Gary mentions, you know what happens. It just it's a mess. So I might, you know, as Josh was saying, I might, you know, buy a couple on secondary. I didn't mint because it was ridiculous. But it's I feel like Gary and AJ are very different people with, you know, very, I mean, they're brothers, but they're doing different things. And so I would recommend for people to do their research. Gary said he's not involved in the Vayner Sports Pass and it has nothing to do with the VFriends friends list. I think some people thought it was. That was one of the reasons why everybody was buying. There was a misunderstanding. I don't know. But I haven't bought it. I'm going to keep looking at the floor. For now, my focus is VFriends Series 2 next week. I got 3 spots. And I have 5 VFriends Series 1, so I should be minting 8 Series 2. So I'm into that right now. Thank you for the invite.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, unbelievable. You got I see a dope mutant. That's that mouth trait. It's not my favorite one, which is M1 Grin, but it's another very... I like your mutant better than my mutant, and my mutant has the same hat. So if you want to trade... It's on the table, Carolina.
I love the holo glasses and the shirt on my mutant. I'm not a big fan of the fur, though. It's like, I don't even know what it's made of. It's like a forest. I don't know.
Yeah, the fur is it's totally weak, Carolina. You should totally trade with me. We can make a trade.
I'll take a look at your wallet. Let's talk about it.
Just a super quick note on these gas wars. When there is a massive gas war like that, a lot of times you can just wait, just stay out of it, and the price comes down almost immediately. Of course, not always. Sometimes it can continue to go up. But when that was going to 1 ETH, I was less like, I'm just going to wait. Some people just kind of are too dumb to figure it out, or it's just like too much FOMO. It's like there's a whole book called The Winner's Curse about you know, winning bids, and you can just wait. And at the worst case, a lot of times you'll just get in at the same price, but without having a kind of race to make the decision. So even if it does go off at 1 ETH with the gas, you can still get it on secondary. It almost always comes down, and I knew it would come down to at least 0.6. I'm surprised it fell this far, but just as a trading tip, super gas wars, you can usually wait it out and then just come back in like 25 minutes.
That's what I did. I didn't buy any on the primary mint. Gas fee just didn't make sense. If it ended up going up to 10 ETH and I missed it, then I missed it, but... I couldn't justify paying those gas fees, so I did the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I bought it at 0.4 and 0.38 today, and I think 0.38 a third time on the other wallet. I'll just buy more if it goes down, not worried about it. I have to think that AJ and Gary will figure out a way to have a access pass or, you know, a pass asset in the Vayner ecosystem to be worth more than 0.35. Someone in my Discord just shouted out something that I should remind everyone of, is that if you own Aku the Moon God chapters by Micah Johnson, the snapshot for the mint pass is tomorrow at 10 a.m. So you have to take action before that to get your affairs in order. I want to throw to Witters, who has her hand raised in one sec. But first, we have bored Elon Musk on stage. Elon, you just bought into Twitter 10% and you're on the board now, but my Twitter space is still rugging people. What's going on, board Elon Musk? What's up with that?
Well, you know, first step is to edit your tweets, and the second is to be able to edit spaces, but one thing at a time. I'm feeling very rushed.
and you know, what do you think of the whole NFT space, Elon? We know that you love Dogecoin, you love obviously Tesla stock and SpaceX and all that. What do you think of the NFT space?
Well, I'm pretty candid lately about not pretending to be Elon, because a lot of people shockingly do think that he runs this account. But playing along with the joke, I think it's a very interesting opportunity. I spend a lot of time in the NFT space. I was going to comment kind of at a macro level, not calling out any particular projects, but just an observation I've made around passes, this idea of like passes that give you entryway to other things. And I feel like we kind of are in a market where there's a surplus of passes that don't really have immediate value. There's really great roadmaps, lots of promises. But I'd like to see a lot more passes that have just, you know, day one utility. That's what we're used to as customers, right? Like a pass to Disneyland lets you go unlimited times. A pass to Soho House lets you go to a place. A pass to Xbox gives you gaming on day one. So I'm really cautious right now, because I think that the idea of, creating something that gives you other things in the future is really appealing, but there's too much of it right now, and there's very, very few that are retaining a lot of value. So like, as I'm looking to invest, I would like to see people come to the table with passes that, you know, basically in the first month or so, cool, you're in the club, here's what you're getting, and then all this other stuff that we're promising you're going to get as well. So just kind of like a caution to everybody, and also a challenge for those who are, you know, considering building something like that.
Yeah, I mean, great point. I mean, VFriends 1 is an example where at a minimum, when you bought VFriends 1, you were going to get tickets to VCon 3 years in a row. So if people knew how much conference tickets like that cost, like if anybody had ever gone to like a Tony Robbins conference or something like that, or I mean, you know, even some of the Web 2 conferences that people like my co-host Nifty Nick had put on, then they'd know that, you know, at I think what, $1,000 when it hit the floor of the Dutch auction at a half ETH when ETH was $2,000. $300 per conference ticket for 3 years for a Gary V conference, that's an incredible deal. And you see how much the tickets are going for on the secondary market right now. It's pretty crazy. But Bored Elon, I'd love to ask you, man, because you have this massive following, right? You got almost 2 million followers, and you know, it's a meme account, it's a joke account. That's still like massive success. Do you have any insight for people on, you know, building a Twitter following and just, you know, kind of making a name for yourself on Twitter? Because clearly you have an understanding of how to do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because the advice I would have given 2 or 3 years ago is very different than what I'd give today, because it seems that Twitter likes to adjust its algorithm by the minute. So it's hard to say kind of what works and what doesn't. I built most of this following, honestly, in the first 5 years, and it's pretty much kind of like stayed stable in the last 2 to 3 years. And I don't really have a good explanation for that, but if I'm pretending it's 2019, it's really just consistency. And the biggest thing that I think surprises people is that I just delete tweets all the time. So if they don't perform well, I delete them, because I want the first impression when you get on my profile to be of the best stuff. And I think it's a really easy thing for everybody to do to make sure that they can just convert more people to followers when they show up on their profile. So that's my pro tip for the day.
Awesome tip, man. And just one last question, you know, why did you make like the Bored Elon Musk account? Like what made you, like what was the motivation behind making like a joke account and saying, I want to get really good at writing tweets and build a following through writing?
Yeah, I mean, comedy writing was always kind of a hobby. And the thing is, you just need constraints. You need some kind of like lines to color inside of. And so 8 years ago, when Elon put out the white paper for the Hyperloop in his downtime, that just kind of inspired this thought of like, you know, this guy is a character. What does he think about when he's sitting on the toilet? And what would I write if I were him? And that was it. That was the constraint. And I just kind of ran with it. And a lot of people in Silicon Valley just picked it up and kept amplifying it. So, yeah, that was kind of where it started. He's great. I think he's doing cool stuff. I'm kind of slowly trying to disassociate myself a little bit, or rather just kind of create my own identity. Part of the move to this new avatar was like a step in that direction, not just show his face, but like, you know, start to move towards kind of a different identity. And if all goes well, I'd really like to get the @board handle on Twitter. If Twitter allows it, we'll see. Yeah, that's the game plan. Appreciate the question.
I was going to say you should just call yourself not Elon Musk, and then that results.
What a great pivot from Bored to not Elon Musk. By the way, super intelligent insight on how to go through that. Really well thought out.
Yeah, thank you.
Bored Elon Musk, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yeah. All right. Anyway, we got Witters with some additional thoughts. What's going on?
Yeah, I was going to take this opportunity just to kind of pick all of these great traders' brains. Whenever y'all pull profits, where do you reinvest? Like, do you come back with the same project? Do you buy one of one art? And I mean, anybody can answer this, but I'm just very curious.
Great question. Real quick, there is a great set of answers that you're going to get. So I need to hear from Nifty Nick. I need to hear from Bert, and I need to hear from Jesse on this. And why don't we throw Josh in there too? But sure. Nifty Nick, what do?
I take all of the money and then I go live up my real life.
Serious response.
Seriously, I actually put a large portion of it into GUSD and just let it earn what used to be 8% is now 6.9%. I'm pretty conservative from that standpoint, just because I've had excessive exposure to the NFT space. I still do, and I'm happy about that. But I like, you got to balance yourself out to a certain degree. I don't reinvest all of it, although I just bought two of these Vayner Sports passes, which I also would be bullish on, just in the hopes that, I mean, honestly, look, you're making a bet on them and Vayner Sports, and like, if AJ is able to get, like, I bought a tennis one, and I bought a, anyways, I don't need to go into the details with that. In answer to your question, I always take out at least 80% of my sales. Sometimes it's 100. Very often it's 80. For example, selling the M2 mutant serums. In hindsight, it would have been smarter to reinvest all of it into mutants, because then I would have turned a significant sum into an even greater sum. But I always just take money along the way, and I put that into something that's far more conservative, that can yield interest at a minimum. 7% yield, ignoring inflation for a moment.
Compounding yield is
nothing to sneeze at. And if you can, and they're going to keep dropping it, frankly, with Gemini, only because like they were trying to incentivize people to use GUSD. So I'm sure they were paying a premium for that. But if you can get, you know, in that range, you're getting like stock market returns once you head towards 11. And so, yeah, I mean, if I can do that in any sort of reasonable way, I'm always looking for that with my actual general capital. And then on the NFT side, I've been taking a more conservative approach recently and trying to buy brands that I really have conviction in, that I don't have to look at the price on a daily basis, because all of my degen trades have basically been losses 90% of the time. I have an awful batting average when it comes to the degen trades. I've probably lost $30,000 to $50,000 just like stupidly aping into, as someone mentioned earlier, various Bored Ape derivatives. That was hot for a moment, but now it's not working. And I don't have the time at the moment to sit there and just watch the price go up like a quick scalp of 50% gain, even though that is a possibility. And a lot of people in our Discord do that. That's just not how I roll personally. So I'm looking for long-term holds, overall exposure to the NFT space, and people who I think are great, great on the execution side and have high potential. That's what I'm looking for. And then simultaneously, I'm just yielding.
All right. So, fantastic answer from Nick. Someone else was going to speak.
I can go, someone else can go, up to whoever.
Go ahead, Josh. Go ahead.
So for me, I was very fortunate in that during college and law school, I played a lot of poker, and you learn a lot of bankroll management, meaning when you have to both live off of an amount of money and simultaneously use that as your assets under management. I kind of learned to balance that out a little bit better long ago. And so I was fortunate in that I had a pretty early big win, which, you know, allowed me to pull some money out to get married, help pay for a wedding with my wife, you know, moving expenses, you know, day-to-day living stuff. But for the most part, I'm reinvesting back into the ecosystem, but, you know, kind of doubling down on my high conviction plays. But yeah, I started off with 100% of my money in one singular project. Now it's probably been spread across maybe 5 or 6 projects and a little bit more diversified. So that was how I've gone about it. But I'm also looking at ways that I can buy NFTs that create layers of liquidity. So I picked up a few gift goats very early on for the purpose of being able to sell or yield off some money without having to sell the product. That's kind of my two cents. But I think that you want to be very realistic of what happens if this all goes to zero, or what happens if it goes down 95%, and make sure you have enough comfortable capital on the side to where if that happens, you're still going to be living the same lifestyle, not have your, you know, lifestyle drastically changed downward. Because I've been fortunate on things have gone up, and I'm not naive to think that I couldn't make a bad bet and all go the other direction.
Awesome response, Josh. Very interesting to hear from you, because you are full time in investing in NFTs. Bert, I'd love to know what your response is to this. What do you do when you take profits? What happens to that money?
Yeah, so usually, I mean, similar to Josh and Nick, I like to reinvest into the project because if I'm initially, or if I'm invested initially, then I probably have a pretty solid conviction in it, unless it's like a pure degen play, which if that's the case, and I'm rolling those profits back instead of those higher conviction investments. So that's one thing. And then just like Nick, I like to stable up quite a bit. So especially now after dealing with like taxes from my first semi-year in NFTs, I like to go to Anchor Protocol and use their platform because they give you 19 to 20% on your stablecoin. It's also a decentralized platform, which I just feel a little more comfortable with right now. So that's kind of my primary strategy. And like moving forward, taking profits, I'm probably going to put closer to like 50% into stablecoins and just let that accumulate yield over time. Whereas the rest of it, I'll reinvest into, again, those longer term holds. And again, those projects that haven't yet had their time to shine, like things that I'm looking at right now are things like Dead Fellas and like Psychedelics Anonymous, I still love. These midship projects that are still building actively, but they haven't quite hit that 7 to 10 plus range. Because usually when we see projects kind of hit that cusp, it's just game over and they start to fly, just like we saw Azuki and Doodles and things like that. So, yeah, that's kind of my strategy.
Very, very good answer, Bert. Jesse, I know you have an arrangement with your wife on how you play your NFT profits. Is that correct?
Yeah, I got put 5% to my wife and the rest to cocaine and hookers. And yeah, that kind of seems to work out for me. No, yeah, I don't have much to add. It's basically the same thing. I put a bunch into, you know, I take a bunch, some out of Coinbase. Obviously, you can move it back, but like mentally, I can buy coins with that, or I can, you know, obviously take some like actual profit. And then same thing, try to get some interest bearing, you know, stuff, you know, put stuff in, you know, there's always those ones that you're like, I'll get to buying, you know, that could be Dead Fellas to you. That could be an X copy. That could be, you know, whatever it is, that you're like, I don't know when this is going to pop. And that's about it. The same thing. I try to do the one third rule. I'm usually overexposed on NFTs, but about the same thing. I was just going to mention a bunch of us got Star Wolves last night. It's one of these, it's the latest gamified NFT. Had a steady pre-mint, steady. It sold out almost immediately in about 5 minutes overnight. It's a semi-docs team. They got like a YouTube show in a kind of regular Twitter spaces, but something to look at. It's kind of in the pit, you know. My only concern with that, I think it's, you know, the owner ratio is going to improve. I think it'll probably double. I think it'll end up at 0.2 or something over the, maybe by Friday, but it's in like the Peacefall category and people are into Peacefall too. So I'm a little concerned that they're both competing, but if people want to look into Star Wolves.
Got it. And then real quick, Benjamin, how do you play it when you make a big win selling an NFT?
Well, the first thing I always do is celebrate with my wife, jump for joy, you know, do the excitement, just sit in the moment and realize like, this is what my life is, and to be appreciative of that. And so that'll always roll into a nice dinner. So no matter what, always make sure to go out, celebrate, have a nice dinner, just reflect on, you know, how much our lives have changed, and this is what we get to do. I'm boring in that I put some aside for taxes always. I always take some and put them into stable coins. So that if there are, if ETH drops and I could buy back in, and that's usually good times to buy NFTs anyway, I'll reinvest some portion of it and leave some liquid. So I always have an allocation of my portfolio that I want in terms of blue chips, mid chips, and low caps. And you know, if I feel that any of my portfolio is swayed too much towards one, then I'll diversify a little bit, and that's how I'll reinvest. But most of the time I like to extract some just to have a little fun, some to have for taxes, some to have for liquidity to buy ETH itself, and then the rest I'll leave on the sidelines or reinvest into projects that, you know, may be down, that I want to buy in while people are accumulating, or buy into something that has heavy volume at the time in order to flip.
Love that perspective. Witters, you know, how are those responses? How was that? Did that answer your question?
Absolutely. And I'm going to have to go back on the recording with a notebook. And that was amazing. Thank you all so much.
Absolutely. And this will be uploaded to our podcast starting this week. The Twitter Spaces is going to be added to the podcast, so not just the YouTube show. So yeah, I'll definitely tweet that out. Anyway, thanks everyone for listening.